Today I'd like to talk to you about the movie The King's Speech. It's a 2010 film about King George VI of Britain and the ascension to the throne, and a speech therapist who's going to help him as this unsure monarch that you are worthy of this. The tagline for the film was, "It takes leadership to confront a nation's fear. It takes friendship to conquer your own." You see, living life without being able to speak easily and fluently is more than just a mere trial. Relaying even the simplest thought is grueling, as well as frustrating and sometimes embarrassing. And we've got well-meaning but patronizing family members that offer all manner of useless advice regarding how to use your elocution. Speech therapists fill your mouth with marvels and then command you to speak clearly. If you're a king called upon to lead a nation that's in the face of war, well, then the stakes are even higher. They're life or death. You look at FDR and his fireside chats and the power there, or Winston Churchill being able to step up to a microphone and do the job. And so we have King George VI, who's in that exact position. He's a stammerer since birth, since childhood, and he has no confidence in his ability to lead the British Empire. And so before he's King George VI, he's merely Prince Albert, father of Elizabeth II, who is now the current Queen of England and husband to Elizabeth, and who was the beloved and now deceased Queen Mother. In 1925, after Albert's devastatingly awkward public address to the British Empire Exhibition, he was stuttering just these few syllables. How could he do the job? And so his wife looks for the help of this Lionel Logue. He's an eccentric, unemployed Australian actor, and he's trained in teaching people how to speak. And he's confident in even his unorthodox treatments for stuttering. And he says, "I will do this, but it will be on my turf and by my rules." And he's demanding total equality with Albert, who he even calls Bertie, as the prince's family's members do. And Lionel introduces the royal one here to how the common man lives the common life. Well, eventually these two become friends, and their decades-long relationship produces not only a more confident monarch and better speeches for the British Empire, but there's a camaraderie that helps Albert begin to understand himself and the people he's leading. And Lionel not only helps this king find his voice, but he talks to him in a convincing way to make him realize that you are worthy to rule. When I think about the Bible and how this correlates, I think about the calling of Moses back in Exodus chapter 4. And God wants him to step up. He had been trained in the greatest schools of Egypt, ultimately tries to take care of things for his people without going God's way. He murders an Egyptian guard, and then he has to run out into the desert, and for 40 years he's working as a shepherd. And so imagine that this is the one that God is calling. Great educational background, but no confidence in himself, which is actually a good place to be. But when God says, "I want you to speak for me," then he'll take care of it. In fact, we see in Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 10, he says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" And so this is an even greater opportunity that has been given. We see in the king's speech that he has to speak up for a kingdom, and Moses has the same thing happen, but he's going to be talking about a greater kingdom, ultimately leading from Egypt. He'll lead millions of the children of Israel out. And so it makes me stop and reflect about our calling as Christians, that there'll be times where God will call us to do something, and he'll provide exactly what is needed at the time. Because who made mouth? Who made eyes? Who made ears? Who made all those things possible? God's the one. And so he made it, and so he'll make it possible for us to be used those things for the glory of God.